Get the best odds on all the big games this March. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app today.
What is going on? The Clones are 5-1 in the Big 12, and we're feeling good here on a Sunday night. You're probably listening on a Monday morning because my daughter was a psychopath when I tried to put her to bed tonight, and it's super late as we record. My name is Chris Williams. I'm joined, as always, by Brent Bloom. Before we dig into tonight's podcast, I want to jump in and thank our friends from Mechdyne and the Mechdyne Corporation for being the title sponsor of the Williams and Bloom Sunday Night Podcast. Want to I can't say this enough about Mechdyne and the culture in the company. You know, a couple weeks ago, I referred to my main man, Chris Clover, as like, he's basically like the Matt Campbell of the business world.
Right.
You know, he's just, you know, he's created this this monster of a corporation, but they're, you know, it's a culture-driven leadership. You know what I mean? It's a lot like the Cyclones at halftime. You're down by 11 to Baylor.
You don't panic.
Nope. I mean,
you trust the leadership.
Here's what you should strive to be if you are a college student listening to this and you want to get into the tech world, maybe an engineering deal. You should strive to be Clover's Brock Purdy. Throw three picks. Clover's not going to bench you.
No.
Clover's going to say, I trust you. You got this. And you're going to come out and you're going to throw three touchdown passes and lead Mechdyne to a 5-1 record in the Big 12. I mean it. All joking. Bloom, neither one of us would be where we are at in our lives, not just careers, but lives, without great mentors and getting 100%. To know people when we were younger. Yep. John Walters was your guy. Keith Murphy showed me the ropes. And this is a great opportunity. Their 24-hour support IT services, and this is a good opportunity for young people to get involved. So I would encourage you to go to Mechdyne.com and get your foot in the door today. Clones 38-31 winners over Baylor. And Bloom, you were on the call last night. So we found out about Walters on Friday, and you got the call from the bullpen.
Yeah, yeah. It was a
well done. You did
whirlwind.
Thank you.
It was fun.
You did very well.
It was a crazy 36 hours, but
while you were calling the game, I was babysitting your kids.
I know. So thank you for doing that. That took a.
I'm just kidding.
No, you did. My kids were here. That is a fact.
It was so much fun. It was really neat. Like, we had the pregame show on out in the driveway, and I was smoking some ribs for everybody, and we were listening to you and just watching all the kids wrestle each other. It was a neat deal to hear you.
Yeah.
I wish it was under different circumstances, but
sure.
I was proud of you. I thought you did really well.
Well, I appreciate it. You've had the chance to work with Eric in a couple of basketball games, and that was my first real chance to do a broadcast with Eric. And I think that was the highlight of all of it. He's just the man. Like we've had him on the summer series this summer, and he's just, it's just a thrill to work with that guy, and so to be able to do a football game. And the good news throughout all this is John is still feeling well.
Yeah,
so
he's an asymptomatic case.
Pretty much, yeah, it seems like it. So he tested positive. This is the beauty. I mean, this whole podcast started because of COVID, and we talked about, well, you need to get more testing. Well, this is why testing can be effective, is John had a routine test because he interacts with Matt Campbell in the postgame show in the locker room. Well, luckily,
could have saved Iowa State.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, think of it that way. So he goes in Friday morning. He feels great. He tests positive, and then had to just kind of shift gears from there because he tapes that Campbell TV show in the locker room. And again, you don't know if that would have been something. They try and distance when they do that thing anyway. But John felt great. Still feels great from what I understand. And it's just the COVID world.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, you did a really good job. We were all proud of you. And so what's going through your mind when Purdy throws the third pick?
Oh, no. That was basically what it was.
I mean...
The pick six, and you're going...
I told your wife. Your wife was sitting next to me, and I said, you know, if they lose, the first thing I'm doing is tweeting at Brent, this is on you.
So... I swear to
Campbell threw you under the bus.
Yeah, did you hear that?
Game.
Yeah, that
was it. Was awesome.
Campbell said something like, "Well,
he goes, if we would have lost that game, I'm calling Brent Bloom." It was
that
awesome.
That was cool. I mean, Matt was in a good mood after
Matt
that game.
Was very jovial.
Yeah.
After
which is
that win.
A total 180 from last week.
He was pissed after beating Kansas by 30.
I thought your column nailed it, where I think this was a game that obviously you don't want to turn the ball over what they did, but they are so ecstatic they won this game because you have to win games like this if you want to be a championship team. You can't play great football all the time. And Iowa State was awful. Was completely...
Even on defense.
Oh, it was just dog... Yeah, it was bad.
Poo.
Yeah, it was for a half, and yet they still found it. And then Eisworth drops that punt. At that point, I'm going, this is it. Like, here goes the Big 12. The whole thing's going up in smoke, and I have to be here to watch this.
Yeah,
it's
and you're
gonna
the
be
guy.
My fault. This is bad. I wanted to crawl under the table, but
you know the
credit Purdy for rallying him back. I mean, give him credit, and then that defense allows 4 yards in the next 4 drives. So
they were awesome. The I kind of highlighted this too in my column as we kind of transition into the game. Man, when your rush defense is as good as Iowa State's was, and I was explaining this to a friend last night who kind of starting to learn like the schematics of football and stuff. And it's just with what Haycock does and how if you can make a team one dimensional, it's lights out. And Baylor was really one-dimensional for, when you get a two-score lead, but you can't run. I'd love to see what their yards per carry were in the second and third quarters. It had to be less than 2.
Yeah, they were going in.
Because they were at like 2.6 in the game, and they got so one-dimensional, and that's when, Haycock just, I loved it, like on that 4th and 6, I mean, they sold out, and Lawrence White trips. But man, like to see
that was an aggressive play call.
Oh my God! Like
they're going for the kill.
They were. Yeah. I loved it because if they convert there, Iowa State wins by 21-24 points.
Yep.
That was just one of those plays that you give that Brewer happens. Credit. Yep. Brewer's probably the only quarterback in the Big 12 other than Purdy who would make that play because he'll take the hit.
True.
He's not gonna jump out of the pocket. He'll take the hit.
He played very well last night, too.
Oh, I thought him and Brock remind me a lot of each other, mm-hmm. just in that moxie. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brock's better, but just
keep getting up.
Yeah, I really like Brewer. I have a great appreciation for that young man.
It was just great resiliency again. And you're right. I mean, at that point, obviously it's up 14. 4th and 6 at the 40-yard line. They get a stop there.
We were about to cover.
It's going the other way.
Yeah.
Right. No question. So
that they would have scored a touchdown in that spot.
I mean, that thing was a roller coaster where I give Baylor a lot of credit for having that play. And then that drive they put together late was pretty impressive, knowing they couldn't run the ball. Although that catch down the sideline did not appear to be a catch to me, but it was a strange one.
It's interesting you say that because we were watching it here, and it looked like a catch to me live.
Right. What did Blandino say?
I actually give him credit. I like, I like it when guys will just be honest, and he's like, I don't know. He said if he had to lean, he would lean that it was a catch, but he didn't think it was enough to overturn it, was the thing.
Gotcha.
I mean, the ball did bobble just a little bit, but it never hit the ground, but it was all about where
the head came
down. His head was. I thought the ball was loose, but to be brutally honest with you, I'm not sure it turns out the way it does without pinning them in the red zone because when you shorten the field like that, it just changes your spacing, and I think that actually benefited Iowa State on that micros interception.
Yeah, good point. And I'm glad he made it because I think they're going for 2 for the win.
I
for
do
sure.
too.
There's no doubt.
The way Aranda had that, he had that look in his eye.
Yep.
It would do them no good to go into overtime on the road like that.
But end of the night, Iowa State found a way to do it. It was stressful. What had the stat today. It's the first time since 1993 that Iowa State had 4 turnovers in a conference game and won.
Crazy.
So that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, and shout out to Chris Andringa yep. for pulling that one. What a wild
And then 93, the game that Iowa State won was against a ranked K-State team at Jack Trice Stadium, perhaps more famously known Streaker. Because of the Streaker.
Yeah.
And it was like 8 degrees out.
Ryan from Mississippi River tweeted about that. Or just speaking of that, we're both drinking. Cody Road, cheers.
Cheers to that.
Clones win.
5-1.
Hold on, let me do the clank and the...
There we go.
I'm drinking out of a Yeti tumbler. That's why it sounded like that. But anyways, yeah, I was super like sick to my stomach. I had a weird calm about me at halftime though. I felt like I didn't feel like that game was over. When I started to get sick to my stomach was right at the end though, because I'm like, damn it,
take two plays.
Like we're a lot better than these guys. And that 4th and 6, and like, you know, think about like all the games that Iowa State's lost like that. Even the Iowa game last year came to my mind. Stanley completing that like 3rd and 22 or whatever. Like just so many of those like plays that you just are, they're 50-50 plays real in reality. And you just kind of have to take your hat off to the guy who completes it. And I didn't want this Big 12 season to end on, because it would have ended had they lost that game.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you're pretty much dead then. I mean, it'd be tough to get out of. I mean,
it was different.
Dead. I mean, you probably could have still gotten in
if you run the table.
But this gives you, it doesn't give you a lot of flexibility.
We need Texas to lose.
You need a Texas loss, and that means if Iowa State beats Texas, it's a greater than, assuming you get then either K-State or West Virginia, one of the two. But I would say, you know, it's really going to come down to that Texas game. I mean, that is setting up to be, we talked about last week, and nothing changed in the scoreboard in the Big 12 on Saturday. Beat Texas the Friday after Thanksgiving, and you're most likely going to be in Arlington. So, and if you don't, you're going to need some help somewhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it would have been nice if K-State would have held on yesterday, but they didn't. So I think that's kind of fitting, though, right? You're going to have to win a big-time game on the road against Tom Herman.
Boy, we nailed Kansas State grinding out.
Yeah, they did. They both
said, hold on. If you guys didn't hear it on our on our Thursday night radio show, we talked about how we both thought that Oklahoma State would basically kill. You know, we both thought that they would kill Kansas State, but we also thought that Kansas State would just chunk it up. And they did. And it was a disgusting display of football. One of the things about me being home on game day, I'm just watching all the games.
Yeah.
And it came to me that they are a better version of Northwestern in the Big Ten. Like I was watching them in Nebraska, and I watched Northwestern Iowa last week. I did not watch it, but like any year that I watch that Northwestern's like in the Big Ten West, like they're not good, but they're just, they don't screw themselves, and they'll get like a special teams touchdown.
I'll take this one sometimes. Yeah.
And that K-State had no business being in that football game. I'm terrified about that game in a couple of weeks.
Which is something I wanted to reference today. You know, how is Iowa State 5-1 here? And if you think about what has changed, look at Iowa State in these competitive games. They've won pretty much all of them. You know, you could say the Oklahoma State game was a loss, but I don't think Iowa State was really in that position. I mean, they got a late score to cut it to 3, need the onside kick. But if you look at the TCU game, you get the Rose interception on that deflected ball. That was competitive late. Oklahoma with Isham Young when Oklahoma's driving late.
God, he's good.
He is super good. And then this one with Rose. And so you get these one score games. You need to make a play. Years past, like that Iowa game last year.
They're not making the play.
This year they have.
Think about how many dropped interceptions were on that team a year ago.
And this year it seems like they're making those plays. Mm-hmm. Even the Tavon Kyle play.
Oh, it's big.
You know, if you let that thing get away from you and it's 21-0, then good luck. But plays like that Iowa State is making this year, and it's been critical because you can't play perfect football, and it was illustrated yesterday, 4 turnovers, and you still win a Big 12 game. I know it's Baylor, and it wasn't pretty, but you still got it done, and that's how you keep these championship seasons potentially alive.
I want to give a shout-out to our super patrons of the week. Oh, dear friends, I married this couple. This is the second couple that I've married that are super patrons.
And are they still together?
They are still together. Funny thing that these two met because of the KXNO radio show.
Ah.
Sean Jankowski, my old producer, who I miss dearly, but he's still a good friend, and his wife, Micah.
Great people.
Yeah, they're both lifelong Cyclone fans. Their moms are Iowa State alumni. Sean grew up over on the eastern side of the state, and he always told me about how tough it was to be an Iowa State fan over there. Micah grew up right near Ames, and she recalls going to games and Cyclones events over the years. They've been together now 4.5 years.
Wow.
Married for 2.5. And the Cyclones are one of only two teams that they have in common. The others, they're big Iowa Wild fans. These two have season tickets. They go to the Iowa Wild. They love it. They eat it up. Like, they're like, Jenks would always be like, hey, Jenks, you want to go? Nope.
Wild game. Can I go to the Wild game?
Wild game tonight.
Are they having those seasons?
That's a great question.
I don't think the... What's the Bucks are. The Bucks are playing.
Yeah.
The Wolves probably aren't. I don't know.
Man, I don't know.
I don't think the Wild are either right now.
I don't think that anything's been decided.
Right.
But they became season ticket holders in 2019 at Iowa State. And they passed this year like a lot of people did, but they're looking forward to getting back at it next year. So
always good to see them on the Zoom calls.
Yeah, they
friendly faces.
They actually they noted that here. That is their favorite part of being super patrons. The Zoom meetings, you know, Sage and Coach Prohm was on with us a couple weeks ago, which was awesome. So we really appreciate everything that they've done for us. Micah and Sean Jankowski, your super patrons of the week. We'll get back to football here momentarily, but Brent and I both found it to be very appropriate to a little bit of a tribute here on tonight's podcast where, unfortunately, Brent, we both lost a guy who's been just phenomenal to us over the years. And Cyclone Nation lost an absolute legend this week, and that is the great Rich Fellingham, the longtime play-by-play voice of Iowa State women's basketball. And he is, I'll say it, one of the nicest guys I've ever met.
Yeah.
Yep. And laid Rich to rest today on Sunday. And he, I know that you really got your start with Rich because I remember when you worked at KMA with me, you'd be like, oh, I'm going to Manhattan to do color for women's basketball. So he was great to you. And then I had a chance to be his color man one season and then done about a couple dozen games with him, probably. Just a phenomenal human being.
It's a tough loss. I mean, Rich would always say, trivia question for everybody, who was the play-by-play voice of Iowa State women's basketball before me? And he'd wait and go, nobody.
Yeah, he started it. Yeah.
He was at KASI, which is the Ames radio station, and it was basically like, let's get these games on the air. And so he got the sponsors himself. He basically did everything. And he did 7 years worth of Iowa State women's basketball before Fenley even showed up.
Which is really incredible.
Those were some bad years.
Yeah.
But he did it because he just loved Iowa State, and he thought they needed some representation. So my history, you know, I got approached when I was a senior at Iowa State. They needed somebody to help on the radio broadcast because they kind of had a revolving door in the analyst position. I was like, and when I grew up listening to not only Pete Taylor, but Rich as well.
Yeah.
I mean, those women's teams, you know, 97, 98, 99, those were some of my favorite teams. You know, Stacey Freeze, Angie Willie, Megan Taylor. And
really,
you
know, legendary teams.
Yeah. And the radio nerd I was,
I
listened to Rich. Yeah. I mean, those games weren't on TV very much either. And so when I got the chance to work with him, like, I mean, it was awesome. So that senior year, I did the Big 12 tournament with him. They asked me to go to the NCAA tournament in Minneapolis. That was Lindsey Metters' senior season. So
what
it was a
fun team.
It was just a complete blast. And I mean, this is icon to me, and Rich treated me like I was, you know, a 20-year veteran.
Yeah.
He expected me to be prompt and on time and prepared, but yet, you know, he gave you, I'm a 22-year-old, 21-year-old kid, and he's treating me like I'm, you know, Stan Van Gundy as his analyst, and that's the way he was. He trusted you, but you had to be professional.
I loved, I have so many great stories of being with Rich on the road.
The guy was prepared.
One pops out to me. So it was, he'd already retired. I believe it was last year, actually, in Morgantown. I'm almost positive it was last year. Him and his wife came. And it just on a, they just went on the trip with, okay, with the team, which, you know, the program will have friends of the program hop on the plane when they have some extra seats. It's common. And Rich was, you know, kind of hanging out with me as I was setting up during shoot around, and he didn't particularly like the way I was doing it. So he just basically did it for me. I was like, you know what, Rich, just take it, buddy. Like, you've forgotten more about this than I'm ever going to know. Right. And then the one that means the most to me, and there was that picture that you posted on Twitter.
Yeah.
It was the first game that Rich, after his retirement, and you and I did pretty much all the games that year, yep, not necessarily together.
It's the Carlton senior year.
Yes.
Yep.
And he showed up, I don't know, 2 hours prior before to tip or yeah, whatever, to make sure that we needed, had everything that we needed. And he basically just like sat behind us, yep, the whole game and just was there if we needed him.
Yep.
And it meant a lot to us. And I'm glad we got that picture.
Same. I'll cherish that,
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to put that one in a frame.
For no question. And it's just, he, you know, my favorite things is he was so prepared and to the point of paranoia about the equipment.
Oh, yeah.
So we, yeah, would
he did not trust that equipment.
Not trust it. So, you know.
I'm like, do we really need the backup? Yeah, I mean, the line hasn't dropped. Oh, you, yeah, got to have the backup.
But had to be there, you know, 2.5 hours before the game, just, yeah, in case. Always got to test and recheck it. But really taught me, you know, the importance of developing a relationship with the coaching staff and, mm-hmm, the players. And, mm-hmm, those players love the guy. I mean, here's a guy who's, yeah, 40 years older than they were, but he treated them like they were his own. And then his relationship with Bill, Bill talked about this week, where Rich was basically his psychologist during those early years, because it was an all women staff that Bill hired. And so a lot of times when he would have rough, and Bill gets emotional.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When Bill would be having a tough night, they say, Rich, go talk to him. And so Rich would. And, but the Friday or the, you know, the nights before a road game, he'd always have his
glass of wine,
or his screwdriver.
Yeah.
And I thought it was fitting in his obituary. Yeah. They said, Rich loved his screwdrivers and his tall glasses of wine. So, every time I see one of those, I'll think of Rich. And he was also, you know, he was a really good broadcaster too. And I think, mm-hmm, you know, putting together some highlights of Rich, and you forget some of the special moments he called, and it's just, it's tough. It was a hard week.
Brent put this together. We wanted to play it. All this audio obviously is from Learfield. Here's just some of the best Rich Fellingham calls that we'll play here tonight on the podcast.
Nails. Here come the Sooners. 2 seconds. Hardeman shot is in and out. No good. Iowa State wins it. The Cyclones have won the Big 12.
O'Neal at the top of the key. O'Neal goes left. Running jumper is up. It's good. It's good. Iowa State up by one with 0.2 seconds to go. 0.2 seconds. There is no way for Texas Tech.
And Nedovich misses a layup. Rebound controlled by Iowa State. 6 seconds to go down the right side. Ann O'Neal, left side to Metters. Three-pointer is up. It's good! Metters hits the three-pointer! And Iowa State's going to win it. 64-62. There's 0.1 second on the clock. 0.1 second.
We're going to end this. And you're going to say goodbye to people in your own way. And whatever you want to say, say it. Because I love you. You're the most amazing person I've ever been around. And no one did more for our program than Rich Fellingham. And I can never, ever, 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 ever thank you enough for that. So say goodbye to your fans, baby. Love you, Richie.
All right. Thank you,
Go Bill. Cyclones.
Thank you, Bill. We appreciate it. And fans, for one last time, I say so long to the Big 12 tournament.
Oh, wow. That's the most Rich sign-off ever, too.
Just
yep, that's
amazing
it
guy.
Yep. I'm just signing off like I normally do.
I'm I'm good for it, but
no, good job on that.
Yeah, it's just it's a guy that, you know, there's obviously Pete Taylor and John Walters, but I think Rich Fellingham belongs right in that same conversation for all he did.
I completely agree. We'll miss you, buddy. But he'll I for some reason it just came. So he also did the Cyclone Game Day show.
He did, yep. So
for,
he did
for however
for
many
a long
years.
Time, and he was the producer for the football broadcast. What I do now for 15, 20 years as well.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, he sat in my seat for Pete Taylor back in the 80s and 90s.
Well, so we always handed off our mic, so our Cyclone Fanatic show was 3 hours before kick, and then I would always hand off my microphone to him, and I would sign off on the Cyclone Fanatic show and call him the legendary Rich Fellingham. Yep. And every time he would just make, like, this is, keep in mind, a lot during the not so great years of Iowa State football. How bad's it going to be today, Chris?
He had this wry wit, absolutely. And even to the end, I mean, Rich had been ill for a while, but every time you talk to him, he would check in. Always had a smile on his face, and he came to every single game he could. And you know, to Alice and his family, prayers with you guys.
Yeah.
And Cyclone Nation won't be the same.
Special guy. All right. With that, thank a couple of our sponsors, and I know Rich would appreciate that because he was all about getting the sponsors.
That's right. Get those readers in there.
GravitateCoworking.com. I want you guys to go and check it out. And this pandemic rages on. I want you guys to think about. I say this every week. They have a really cool catchphrase on their website. It's called "Find your productive happy place." I need that. My productivity is starting to lack here in this office because I never get out of it. This is like my little dungeon here. And I would encourage you guys to check out GravitateCoworking.com, downtown Des Moines, and Valley Junction. There's a spot, and now Gravitate Coworking in Jefferson. And they got everything you need, except you don't have to own an office space. You don't have to take that risk. You don't have to lease anything. You're just paying them a monthly fee for internet, printers, a desk, whatever you need. GravitateCoworking.com, and we encourage you. They're open, and they've got all the safety precautions. I know COVID's rampant right now.
That it is.
But they take it very seriously, and I'd highly suggest you guys check them out today. Franklin Barbershop as well. They take the COVID very seriously. I've never felt under any sort of, I never feared for my safety at all when I go in there.
Yep.
I think a lot of people, Bloom, they think you go into these like spa places. It's not a spa, it's a barbershop, but you know what I mean? And it seems somewhat dangerous, but they actually have a sign when you walk in that says "Stop, sanitize," with a picture of MC Hammer, which kind of catches the vibe when you walk into the Franklin Barbershop.
Yeah, take it seriously, and I need to go there this week, I think.
Yeah, you do.
A little raggedy.
Cleaned up a little bit. FranklinBarbershop.com, and you can book your appointments right there online. Great supporters of everything we do here at Cyclone Fanatic and the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. All right, Bloom, Breece Hall continues to
That a hard hat type of game, career high carries?
Man, it was quite the deal. So he is the only running back in the country over 1,000 yards now, second nationally in touchdowns, and he's averaging 6.3 yards per carry, which is insane.
For reference, because I'm all about for reference here, Troy averaged, I think, 5.8 yards per carry in his years at Iowa State. So I thought you guys had a really good conversation about this on the reaction show last night.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is not a LeBron versus Jordan situation.
It's starting to bother me.
With Troy and Breece. I agree. They're
it's
totally,
starting to drive me crazy.
It is. And he's not going to put up anywhere near the numbers because it's a weird season, but you got to start recognizing what Breece is doing relative to the rest of college football.
Okay. Not to put any pressure on you, because I know you're like me and you have no free time. Maybe this would be a Bloom column at some point.
I could probably pull that off this week.
I just feel like that.
Is it time? It's time, I think.
Yeah, and like I keep getting hit with this. Like, is he better than Troy? Now, I don't think most people asking me that are guys from your era who, mm-hmm. you know, were at those games. I think it's, but my point is, and I really feel, and we talked with Dan McCarney about this. We've talked with Eric Heft about this. By the way, we need to do another Legends podcast. I think we know who we want to get on. Yes. We've already talked about it. I'm sensing a great curiosity from the younger members of Iowa State's fan base about a lot of these guys. And I love it. It's, and what
that's
I'm
what it's about,
I didn't get on board until like 2002. That was the first year I actively followed Iowa State football because I grew up an Iowa fan. Like I've watched it until a couple of years ago, I'd probably been to more games in Kinnick than I had Jack Trice. Now Kinnick, I go there and people throw Milwaukee's best cans at me.
I've been there.
Yeah. They've connected a couple of times. It's not a pleasant place for me to go. But my point being, like, I'm not the guy to ask about the Troy Davis legacy. Sure. You are. So I think that people really, I don't want this to be a LeBron Jordan thing because I think that's an impossible conversation to have.
Well, it's the same thing. It's a different, I mean, it actually matches up fairly well, right? Jordan's peak was 92 to 96.
98. There's a retirement in there.
Troy was 95 and 96, and now here we are with Priest. I might whip that out.
Yeah.
I think I'll do that this week, actually.
If there's a column to be written by Bloom,
it's been a while.
We always joke.
I gotta make sure my computer still works for the column writing.
We always joke back when Adam Gray was doing sales here.
It's true. I'm not disputing this.
I love Gray too, by the way. I miss him. We always joked that the only time Bloom would write is after an Iowa State win.
He will still text me occasionally. Hey.
Yeah.
Iowa State won today. You going to write something?
Anytime Iowa State would lose, Bloom's just like, I'm busy this week. Yeah. but like, which none of you guys listening probably get it, but like you should see my mentions on Twitter after a win, like a big win compared to after a bad loss.
Not fun.
Like, oh, it's horrible. Yeah. Some of the things like people that you think like are your friends, like stuff that they'll say to you. Yeah, it's awful. I had a guy tweet at me after the it was after the Oklahoma State game. He's like, you know what, Williams, you had said that the team would be ready to play today, and I thought that you would be right, and I put my faith in you, and you were wrong. It's like, Were they really not ready?
They took the lead in that game.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm doing my best here. I'm never going to lie to you guys, but my God, you know.
Right, were you getting some stuff in the first half?
No, because I really am not tweeting much during games anymore. I wasn't.
I'm sure the natives are probably restless. They were restless at Jack Trice. There were interception.
A lot of people calling for Deckers.
Seriously.
Swear to God.
Well,
that's ridiculous, by the way. That is if you do that, you need to go take a long, hard look in the mirror.
Take a walk?
Yes.
For a while?
Maybe the Deckers kid will end up being like a Heisman Trophy winner for Iowa State. I hope so. But Brock Purdy's the greatest quarterback in the history of Iowa State football.
I thought Tyrese Halliburton.
Oh, man, he was phenomenal last night. That's my quarterback.
What'd he say? Give me that Purdy hate. It's like, that's good. Tyrese going to be a multimillionaire here in about 2 weeks.
Hearing about that?
10 days.
We got Bloom. Are we going to have a Bloom draft column?
No, I need to.
But it's in football season.
That's okay. It doesn't matter. It's my favorite night of the year. Tyrese is looking... He's not getting past 8, in my opinion. He could go as high as 2.
What about my Bulls? They won't take him because
they might. They like him a lot. Now
but they got the kid from North Carolina last year.
But he's more of an off guard. I mean, the Bulls are a little bit of a mess in the backcourt because both LaVine and Kobe White are both kind of off guards. So you slide in Tyrese who can.
The Bulls just need to like hit on some guys. And everything I've read by the experts, Tyrese is like one of the most can't miss guys in recent
he's
memory.
He's the safe pick.
He's completely
the safe pick this time. And because there's a lot of wild cards. It's like you don't know what the ball kid is going to be. The consensus top pick is Edwards from Georgia, who was very average. I mean, he put up some numbers at Georgia, but they didn't win.
Who's Golden State going to take?
Well, and that's the question. The thought here for Golden State, which I think this could be ideal, is they really like Tyrese, but two is probably too high for Tyrese. So that's why I said he could go as high as two if Golden State takes it. They could try and trade down, though,
and
take him at like six or seven.
Yeah, and the reason I said that is...
Oh, this gets me fired up, man.
I have pretty good sources inside of basketball.
You do?
And it's been going around, Bloom, for damn near a year and a half that Golden State and San Antonio were in love with him.
Yeah.
Both of those franchises.
Yep. He's not getting to San Antonio, I don't think, unless they trade up.
No, but they were the one who, after his freshman year, I was getting intel that if he went pro, they would have taken him in the first round. So most of these guys, how it works is they have some sort of a guarantee, or at least like a verbal guarantee. Yeah. Like Taylen knew
the Lakers were going to
because
grab
the Rich Paul connection. Like he wasn't getting past that spot,
and he's going to be a really nice player, by the way.
Well, he came on. I thought he played
very well in his limited minutes.
What I was hearing at the end of his freshman year was that if he went pro, he would have been taken. I think they had like the 26th pick that year, because I remember that being like a realistic thing. Obviously, he didn't. And it was coming around like early last year that Golden State and Kerr are in love with him.
Yep,
based off of the rest of that roster.
It's just the problem here is it'd be a little risky to take him at two. Like that's
because
honestly, we've seen Tyrese. Tyrese is going to be a 12-year pro. I don't see Tyrese as ever being your number one or number two guy on a championship team. I think he's a starter potentially, but you try that whole upside thing with a Wiseman who's that 7-footer from Memphis or Edwards or one of those foreign kids. But long story short, I think Tyrese will probably go somewhere in the 5 to 9 region, and he'll make a lot of money, and I'm happy for that guy. Pretty cool story. So the draft is the 18th, which is a Wednesday.
So is that like the Wednesday of Thanksgiving?
It's the week before.
Technically basketball would have started this weekend, right? In a normal year?
Yeah, it would have started about 2 weeks ago. Oh, you mean college basketball?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it'd be this week.
Because it's all... I go by NASCAR. It's always the same weekend as the NASCAR.
It's usually I think
finale.
They were scheduled for the 11th was going to be the first day. So that would have been Tuesday or Wednesday.
And we still don't have a non-conference schedule.
Not public yet. I have a pretty good idea when it'll start, but it's not public completely yet. It'll be the end of the month when it will start.
Crazy.
Maybe that's changed. So I haven't heard anything in the last couple of weeks, but.
I'm terrified about the basketball season.
It is locked in that Iowa State is going to go on the road to Iowa. So that's known. And Iowa State will play DePaul, which is also known. And Mississippi State.
This is off topic. Let's go back to college football, shall we? Did you get home in time to watch the end of the Notre Dame Clemson game?
No, I watched the end up in the booth. Then the storming of the field.
Sorry, it's not funny. COVID's very serious. I'm dealing with it in my own family very immediately right now. I've had it like you've had family members. It's no joking matter. Who just sent this? The president. President of Notre Dame just sent out a letter to the student body as we record this, which I think it's like the president of Notre Dame. Isn't he the guy that was that like super spreader event at the White House?
Yes. Same guy. Like, good point. Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's the president or was he a dean or something.
I don't know, but who the hell does this guy have to say anything? Right. You're gallivanting around with your rich friends. These kids are just reacting to
these
a college
guys
football game.
PR.
This is more than a hand slap, though.
What do you say?
He's got three main points.
I've got some thoughts here. Okay.
To this letter. He goes, one, because we are now even more concerned about the potential for contagion in your home communities as you prepare to travel home.
That's fair.
At the end of the semester, the university will place a registration hold on any record of any student who fails to appear for testing when asked to do so. A registration hold would mean that you are unable to matriculate or register for classes next semester or even receive a transcript.
That's some authoritarian stuff right there.
No, it gets better. Just wait.
Okay. I've got some thoughts.
This is a change from an earlier communication from yada, 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 people you don't know, stated for those who have failed to appear would lose priority status from registration. Two, furthermore, this is where it gets great. You may not leave the South Bend area until you receive the results for your exit test. Again, should we discover that you have left the area, we will place a registration hold on your record.
That's not going to go over well.
It might be.
They can't do that. But they're a private school.
They're
I don't know.
You're stuck here.
Whew.
If you assholes want to charge the field,
it's all coming from that? I mean, just the bad look? They're getting some heat. Does it reference the football game at all in that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just read you the main points of this that I thought would be.
Well, there's no doubt that the cases are going up across the entire nation. I will say that, at least with that age range. So Iowa State, for example, it's going up at Iowa State too, by the way.
Okay. It's going up everywhere.
So, you know, Iowa State had some success there with drop from.
My daughter's back on a hybrid after today.
But so the campus, it's gone up almost double in the last 10 days, which is not great. However, Iowa State, knock on this, has not had a single hospitalization of a student. Okay? So that's good. I think we can call that a good thing.
Yeah.
But it makes a good point there. As we start to go back, so Iowa State's in a similar position where the semester's over in 2 weeks, and then you start going back home, that's where it gets, you know, kind of a gray area of how strict you want to be. But that's pretty, that's a heavy hammer.
Isn't that the story of the bye week?
100%. I am scared to death.
Like, as high as case numbers are right now and as good as Iowa State has done.
Another perfect week on the player side last week.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
Like, I thought Mike Rose was really good after the game last night when he didn't even want to talk about the win. He was just like, man, we got to stay in our bubble.
Stay in our bubble. But it can derail the whole thing.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
It's in it the way it's and we've been open here. Like, and you are dead on about the basketball season. I am really struggling to see how this is going to work.
Why are they not just doing conference only? And then I loved what the ACC coaches said, and then do a complete NCAA tournament.
I mean, maybe that's the route to go, but it's just, there's so many factors here that it can derail it. I am ecstatic we've gotten to this point in the season. Iowa State's played 7 games, which is crazy, without any interruption. But all it takes is a couple, and then it can get out of control. And so this is a big week. There's no game. But it's a big week in the standpoint of staying disciplined and staying in your bubble. And obviously it's got good leadership, but we've seen it in every single level of sports and in public life. Like, I know for a fact, John Walters was one of the most disciplined guys when it comes to the mask situation.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That I've ever met.
Yeah.
And so I think he's an example of it can, you know, you can't plan for all this stuff. And so it's kind of hold on and wait and see and hope for the best here this bye week.
I'm sorry. I'm still just like, this Notre Dame thing's really getting to me. They're they're locking their students in South. So does every student because of like the ones who stormed the field?
I don't think, is that even legal?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it's not, can you tell somebody you can't leave campus?
Hey, you. I don't care if you got an A on all those tests. You stormed the field against Clemson.
Wow. What a world. And yet it feels completely normal.
There's nothing normal about right now.
No, but I'm saying the abnormal is normal.
And then you factor in like the election stuff on top of everything with the pandemic.
I have to tell you, okay, this inside joke, but this is the podcast. You sent me a text in the middle of the broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
A fake. Yeah. Very, very fake.
You can just tell everybody.
I didn't click on it. No, tell me. So explain it because
you could tell everybody what I did.
So Chris sends me a text.
I was just trying to get you to lighten up. You were like, it was before kickoff. Yep. I was trying to get you to laugh.
It was a text about.
Because I'm a good friend.
Yep. It was well done. But it was something about. And it was believable somehow that the president was going to resign and Vice President Pence would take over
at midnight.
At midnight,
he was going to be sworn in.
And so I didn't click the link, which apparently had a very graphic image attached to it. I did not click that, thankfully, but I decided to let my fellow broadcast partners know because I thought this was breaking news. And so I've got Heftin runs. Feverishly checking their sources, and they're like, I swear to God, this happened. And then they're like, Bloomy, I'm not seeing that. I'm like, well, it's. And then I'm like, oh, wait a second, Chris got me. And then I clicked it. So well done, point for Williams.
What is it with you and your wife?
I was very vulnerable. I thought you were trying to really.
That's hilarious.
Share some news for me here.
Because your wife was here too, and I was downstairs.
It looked very believable.
Well, you know, I was getting them ribs ready that I had made.
Because you even referenced Reuters.
Yeah. Well, you had to make it believable. And your wife responded like, oh my God, that's not surprising at all. And like, neither of you clicked the link. You just took my word for it. But the whole point was to get you to click the link.
And I did after the fact. And so that was a real treat.
Oh, my God. I could imagine bronze.
Right? So, kudos to you.
I was just trying to lighten the mood.
It did. It worked.
Before you. But then I thought about it. And you had that camera on you, the Cyclones TV camera. And it would have been a real shame if that would have shown up on camera.
Good point. Oh, man. The power of memes and text messages, let me tell you.
I did a little research. The guy who sent out that letter to the Notre Dame is the guy who was at that White House super spreader event.
What? This year, man.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
I want everybody to be nice to each other. This is how I want to, because everybody just hates each other. Everybody hates each other, and I hate it. I'm reading that book that I was telling you about Fareed Zakaria is a brilliant man. And it's 10 lessons for a post-pandemic world.
Okay.
Basically. And he gave a great statistic that I picked up on today. And this is why I just want everybody to take a deep breath and not hate everybody. So basically, and I'm botching these numbers a little bit, but I'm in the ballpark. If you have like a bachelor's degree or higher,
okay.
It was somewhere between like a 50 to 60% of us can work from home.
Sounds about right.
So the pandemic is way less impacting us than, for instance, somebody with a high school degree only. There's like, it was something like a 11% of them could work from home.
Okay.
If you don't have a high school degree, like 3% of them can work from home. And it was fascinating to me because, you know, I just like, well, no wonder we're all have different attitudes about this COVID thing, you know, like, where I'm from, you know, are my buddies who work at factories back in Clarinda and they just are getting laid off.
Right.
You know, like they're right. Just, they're not able to do it.
They can't work.
Yeah. Yeah. Like and they're not getting stimulus anymore.
That's a great point.
So to them, like, you know, it's terrifying. The
lockdowns, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not worried as much about the virus. They're worried about
paying for their kids to be able to
totally
have clothes and like that. That so like I'm just saying, have sympathy. Don't be jerks to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, what's the old adage? Just gotta walk a mile in somebody else's shoes.
Yeah,
I mean, sometimes you have to look at it from your own standpoint. It's a natural thing to do, but yeah,
it goes the other way too. Like my friends at home, like. We don't know what it's like to be a black man in an inner city. Like, how in the hell could we ever know that?
Never will.
No. So just be nice to each other. That should be the way we sign off every week.
Be nice to each other.
Just to be nice. God, I'm so tired of it, man. Like, I'm just so sick of it.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of it.
Well, I don't think it's going to get any better in the short term.
Not in the short term, hopefully in the long term, but I don't know. I watched that Netflix documentary, The Social Dilemma.
It's still stuck in your head?
Yeah, we're all screwed. Not only are like we just all mean now, but like we're being brainwashed daily to hate each other.
Yeah.
Not enough people will come out of their echo chamber to listen.
Well,
I hate it.
Chris, the fact remains. Whether
just people, be nice to each other.
People hate each other or not. Can't dispute the fact that Iowa State's leading the Big 12 Conference.
Got a bye week to get primed for Courtney Messingham's return to Jack Trice.
That's right. That's right.
Something about the guys who get the biggest vitriol in Ames are like my buddies. I love Mess.
Good
and
guy.
I love Greg McDermott. Those are my dudes, man. Like Courtney Messingham. Of the
very nice
16,
man.
17 years you and me have been doing this, is one of the top dudes ever. God, he was great. I'm so happy
that is
for
his
him.
First return trip, then, isn't it?
I
yeah,
think so.
This is Kleiman's second year. Wow. Man, that game's terrifying, honestly.
You're damn right it's terrifying.
It's a terrifying game.
Although, I don't even want to think about it.
It won't. Okay. Iowa State will be what? A 10-point favorite in that game? And guess the line 2 weeks early? I'm saying 10. I mean, if it's Howard, again, they can't throw.
Yeah, no. I mean, I could pull up some power rankings right now, but yeah, I would think so.
10 to 12.
If Oklahoma, I would say it's closer to 12.
So
if Oklahoma State was a 12.5-point favorite in Manhattan.
Road. Right. Iowa State and Oklahoma State are basically the same from a power ranking standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, they're almost identical profiles.
So... And again, that game and the whole scheme isn't as important, potentially, as the Texas game right now, just based on tiebreakers. Let me give you the complete scope, right?
All right.
If it's a four-way tie, which it looks like it could trend that way if all the pieces come together.
Oklahoma's not losing.
Oklahoma's not going to lose. So they're going to be at 7.
And they're going to beat Oklahoma State.
And they're going to beat Oklahoma State, who probably won't lose other than against Oklahoma, right? So they have Baylor, could be tricky, and they have...
By the way, I'd rather play Baylor when Iowa State got them than the last week of the year.
Does Oklahoma State play West Virginia, though? That's kind of a...
No, they already played. They played the first week of the season.
That's right. So who does Oklahoma State... Who's their other guy? Let's break this down, and then we'll call it a night. Who does Oklahoma State have other than Oklahoma?
Texas Tech.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. So
they got Tech on Thanksgiving weekend.
So Oklahoma State's 7-2.
I need a little more Cody Rhode.
Texas and Iowa State are the other two here in the conversation. I guess K-State as well, but we're giving K-State now. I'm giving K-State two more losses. Losses to Iowa State.
Old elk.
There you go. And a loss to somebody else. Doesn't matter. Once there are three losses, you're out. So, if it's a four-way tie, let's say Iowa State loses in Austin. Unfortunately, because of the tiebreak, Oklahoma and Texas play for the Big 12 championship in that tiebreak.
Jesus, we don't want that.
That's why Iowa State needs to beat Texas. Like,
we really need Texas to lose.
We need Texas to lose. Yeah, they were on the ropes against West Virginia. Could have got
and Oklahoma
and
State.
And Oklahoma State, both of them.
Herman. I'm writing this. I almost put it in my three up, three down column, but I'm holding it off for Thursday. But even when they win, they're unimpressive.
Mm-hmm.
They are just the most. I can't put my finger on it, and I'm a Herman guy. Everybody knows I like Tom.
That's why it's going to be...
they are not an impressive football team.
It's going to be extremely sweet, because that game's going to be magnified to win that game in Austin the Friday after Thanksgiving.
I think I said this a couple weeks ago. I want Herman's ass. Like, you said so that bad. I want Iowa State to kick his ass.
It would be...
And for what it's... If Tom was sitting right here, I would say it, and I would rub it in his face. Yeah. I want Iowa State to kick his ass.
There'd be a lot of a poetic story if that was the one that put Iowa State over the top.
Yeah.
You want to make that trip? You want to come down to Austin?
Well, yeah, I kind of do, but it's...
It's the Friday after Thanksgiving, though. It's tricky. I know.
I thought about taking a land jet.
Take a land jet. It's a long drive, though.
Well, and a lot of those guys don't really want to be out on Thanksgiving.
That's the problem. Yeah. Well, it's going to be a big game. Well, the K-State game's big, too.
I went the last time we were down there, and it was a blast. It was like a damn bowl game.
Yeah, felt like it.
You didn't come out to 6th Street before.
I didn't. The team does not stay downtown, which is probably the wise move.
They had a big alumni event there. And Murphy and I did our radio shows and the news from there. And it was phenomenal. Like I met so many, I didn't realize how bustling the Austin Cyclone Club is. They're awesome. Yeah. Those guys are legit, man. And then my buddy Reagan, the girl from Clarinda, is a big part of it.
Yep.
She was down there and I got big to hang out with her and got to see her, and I had a blast. It's a phenomenal road trip to do the whole Bevo thing before. I met up with Jay Jordan and his sons, hang out with them a while.
That's cool.
I had a beer with Jeff Johnson.
I'm just saying that
what a night.
This is setting up to be the perfect game to put Iowa State in the Big 12 championship. Is you dethrone the big bad Texas.
Because you want to earn it.
You want to earn it. I totally agree. Like, I'm not backdooring in this thing this year. I'm beating Texas in Austin. Thank you very much. That's what I want at this point.
And then we do the DX suck it sign
way out. On the way out. See you, Tom. Man, I can't wait for that game. And again, K-State's still important. But if you lose to K-State and beat Texas, you're still in good position. I would prefer Iowa State just win out. And then win the whole damn
thing. I was going to say, why can't we just...
Let's just win out.
Why can't we just win out?
I'm for it.
Yeah, I want Herman's ass. And I'm going to say that every week until then. I can't wait till it gets back to him. When I said we're going to do the suck it sign on the way out, I thought, well, what better way to end this podcast than the D-Generation X theme song?
I bet Herman was a fan. Chris Ash is on staff.
Oh, my God.
Yancey McKnight.
Isn't Rosie Majid
Clayton
on that?
Clayton Oyster, Rosie Majid. Break it down.
Who does
it's like,
that?
It's like the McCartney era with the Rhodes era.
It is. It's basically a bunch of Iowa State guys on that. What?
These guys from Ohio are coming to Ames to beat the guys from Texas who are from Iowa. I love it. Let's do it.
What, but my question is, who would be the guy to really, you know, do the taunting at the end? That would be my question.
Skip's going to do it.
Yeah, I mean... I was thinking more of a player.
Oh, okay.
who's going to be this guy?
We got two words for you.
Suck it!
Who would it be?
I feel like the guys with the long hair.
Yeah, Mike Derek Rose, Schweiger.
Mike Rose.
Yeah. Joey Ramos definitely would if he was playing.
Yeah, Ramos would have been the guy. It would have been
Rose probably would.
Who's the fullback a couple years ago who I loved? Sion Buckner. He would have been the guy.
Sam.
You know who's the guy? It's Saner.
Saner's the guy.
Saner's the guy.
Kohler's got a little badass.
Who's the Tashiq Carr who spikes the ball on the Longhorn?
This
game. Remember that game?
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, one last story of that game. I've told it before on these. So Jared Holman was on that team, that Tashid Carr team in 2005 that won in Austin. So that Iowa State did not win a conference road game from 2001 to 2005, which when you're playing nine of them, eight of them, is really hard not to do for four years.
That's
it was like a 27-game losing streak. So, and Holman was a part of a lot of those. He was a senior in 05. That's the team that made the NCAA tournament.
Lost to North Carolina in the second round, I reckon.
Yep. Holman carried on all these road games a bottle of champagne and busted it open in the Texas locker room because it broke the road game skid.
I remember that season so well. Like, I can – all those big wins. Kansas.
Kansas was another
Didn't they
one.
Win in Stillwater that year? I thought, like, I don't even
I don't know if – I don't know. They – no, they didn't. They So the big wins, you're right, Kansas, Texas, and then won a huge game at Colorado late.
Yes.
Kind of put them over to the
I remember specifically where I was, the Kansas, Texas, and Colorado games.
Yep.
I was at the – yeah.
It started 0-5 that year, made the tournament, but Holman Holman popped a bottle of champagne. He would have done the suck it.
Holman – I say it's the most lazy analysis I have at this point in my career, but every Iowa State team that doesn't quite live up to expectations, I'm always like, man, that team could have used a Jared Holman. It needs a Holman and a Vroman. Every team needs a Holman and a Vroman.
Oh, all right. Man. Good
well,
stuff, buddy.
We'll finish tonight's with the D-Generation X, and maybe we can get a Cyclone suck it to Texas thing. We gotta be Kansas State first. Appreciate it, Bloom. Good job last night, man.
Hey, thanks, pal.
Did Always a good a job.
Thank you.
All right, have a great week, everybody. Bye week. We'll have complete. We'll have all sorts of stuff for you at Cyclone Fanatic. Maybe we dip into a little basketball. Bloom and I are gonna look into doing a new Legends podcast. You could tell me what to do. We'll have a little. There's really no Big 12 games this weekend.
So they don't matter.
Yeah, so they don't matter. Just take the week off. Have a Cody Road. Cheers. Later. You stood the way the war about. I said what you got. It measures it out.